Meeting to order. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
6:33 p.m.
6:33. I pledge allegiance to the United States of America, and to the Republic which stands one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right. Roll call. I'm here. Sammy Palastro, here, but you're muted. There you go. Tony Staffieri.
Here.
All right, so we have three regular members. We have two alternates, Jeffrey Bell.
Here.
And Ray Bowers.
Here.
There you are. Okay. All right, we have a, we'll move on to number four, public portion, and that's for anything besides this application. So if there's anybody from the public who has anything to, that want to say to the Zoning Board of Appeals besides on this application, now's your chance to do it. Anybody from the public? And last call. All right, I'm going to make a motion. We close the public portion. I need a second.
Second.
Tony Staffieri, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Nobody. Okay. Now we're going to move on to number five. The applicant, Raymond Sadlick, 5 Collins Hill Road, Derby, Connecticut. Location of the affected premises are the same. Appealing regulations, zoning regulations, 195.9E7A and B, to reduce bulk side yard setback requirement from 25 feet to 2 feet and reduce the bulk rear yard setback requirement from 5 feet to 2 feet. For the purpose of building a 2-car garage. All right. Ray, I saw you on there. There you are. You can present, or if you have, I don't know if you have somebody presenting for you, but feel free to let us know what you're doing. And we have all the things you sent in. And we'll, I'm sure we'll have some questions for you when you're done. So go for it.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, good evening. My name is Ray Sadlick, 5 Collins Hill Road in Derby. Lived here for 21 years at this location. Lifelong Derby resident. My lot is in an R1 zone here, and it's tiny. It's like... In the back, it's only 68 feet wide. It's like 74 feet in the front. And the R1 zone is the largest residential zone in Derby, 1-acre zoning. And it's literally all of, nothing on the east side of town, everything on the west side, like up past me, Great Hill Road, up in that area where the farm country is. What I want to do is build a 2-car garage back there. It'd be one overhead door, one double door, and just for placing a vehicle in and some storage. Being that, you know, if I had a 1-acre lot, I wouldn't be here. There'd be plenty of room. And the thing that really screws it up or makes it difficult is that if you look at the map, the rear property line is like almost on a 45 degree angle. So to push a 20 foot wide garage or anything back to that, you touch that point with one corner, and that unique shape and the dimensions of the lot are kind of the main things that require me to be in front of you here tonight. If that lot was parallel or perpendicular to the side yards, I wouldn't have this problem. I'd be able to actually, the rear yard setback, I'd be able to go back about 7 feet farther and still maintain the 5-foot rear yard. But the side yard being 25 feet, that's just kind of, you can't really even deal with that because I would need 25 feet on each side and being only, I mean, it would put a garage in the middle of the lot. So anyhow, with everything there, I did go and send the letters out to all the neighbors. I approached all the neighbors within 150 feet. Three of them border my property, right side, left side, and rear. They all gave favorable letters. I think the secretary or the clerk had forwarded them to you.
Yeah, we got them all. Thank you.
And the other gentleman, Dennis LaRocque, he, I don't know if anybody's familiar with the area, but he had purchased Dr. Renzo's home. His property doesn't border me at all, but it's behind, it's within 150 feet, he touches me. So I also obtained a letter from him, all favorable. I mean, I got good neighbors, thank God. And they're all, you know, they got no problem with it. So I'm just hoping that the board looks favorably upon this due to that unique shape in the back there and the small size of this lot being in the R1 zone. The other property owner that was within 150 feet, I should have mentioned earlier, is across the street. That's the state of Connecticut, which is part of, it's just vacant vacant land right now, just woods. It's part of Osborndale. So I didn't expect to get a letter from the state back, but anyhow, I didn't know what he'd approach on that end. So if there's any questions, I don't think it'd be any negative impact to the neighborhood. Like I said, all the neighbors, it's no undesirable changes to the neighborhood or nothing. My lot does have city water and sewers, which is not required in the R1 zone, but I have it anyway. What else? No environmental issues, anything like that. I don't know, any questions? I'll be happy to answer.
Okay. So on the application, it says there's ledge. Where's their ledge?
Well, the lot slopes up in the back and then behind me, part of my property, and then continues on into the neighbor's property at 630 Hawthorne. It's just very steep. It goes up. It's like straight, not straight up, but pretty much close to it. You can never build anything back there. It's goes like pretty, it must rise up 30 feet.
Yeah, I was looking on the Google Earth and you could tell it goes up back there.
Yeah, Patty Ann Terrace is actually up behind there, okay. A little bit of distance.
So I understand the rear setback because you have that triangle in the corner there. So it definitely cuts it off. So what is the distance? If that garage was put right there, how far is it from the back left corner to that point?
From the back left corner?
Yeah, like say you're coming down the driveway in the back because that's where it's the furthest away from the property in the back.
From where you, what are you asking? From the proposed garage?
See if it'll show up if I show it on here. See the point?
Right, yep.
Right there. Yep. And then the garage is here, like that little space there. It looks like about a half an inch on this paper.
So the property line, it's probably about 13 feet.
So that distance is fine. There's no variance there. It's the other corner that's requiring you to get the variance. And now And the other side, it's obviously the whole side of the garage because your house is 25 and a half feet from the property line. So that's
correct.
On the left side is correct. On the right side, whatever direction, let's see, that must be the east side, looks like it's closer, 7.8 feet or 7 feet 8 inches. I can't tell what that says.
Yeah, 7.8.
All right. Less than 8 feet. And the question I always ask, is there any place you could put a garage and be in compliance? And you kind of covered that. It would have to be in the middle or behind the house, like attached right to the back of the house.
Yeah, it's, it's kind of deceiving. It's not a big backyard. So, I mean, I could put it in the middle, but, that's...
Not necessarily in the middle, but like literally adjacent to the house, right behind it.
Pulling it way forward, you're saying?
Turn it sideways and put it against the house. Would it be 25 feet from both sides? I don't know what the dimensions are.
Well, it would have to be like I say, like right in the middle, because it's only about 68 feet wide. The lot gets narrower as it gets deeper. That rear property line is showing 79.07 feet, but that's along that diagonal line. you know, straight across, perpendicular to the sides. It's about 68 feet.
And the garage is 20 feet wide and 30 feet deep, or the other way around?
Yes, no, 20 feet wide, 30 feet deep. I have, you know, my house, although it has a double bay door in the front, it's really only one bay. You can only get one car in there because the way the land when the house was built, which I built, the land goes uphill to the right, and extra stairs had to be put in the garage to get to the garage floor. So it kind of eliminates one bay. So I only have a kind of a one car garage, really. Storage area in there, but.
Okay. How about the rest of the people? Do you have any questions? And Sammy, you're muted. Everybody else can talk freely if you have a question.
Yeah, just give me a minute. If anybody else wants to go ahead. Just confirming some stuff here and some questions I want to ask.
Mr. Chairman, is this just for the committee to speak at this time, or is it public
The public comes right after this. Okay. If it's about this application.
It is. Okay. It is. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah, and on the agenda, it's number 6, and then the action is number 7, so you have a chance.
Okay, so, great. Thank you.
You're welcome. Let
me, Ray, so what you're saying is that you're in R1, and the R1, I looked this up, and it says that it carries roughly 40,000 square feet. What's the size of your property now? Are you, so I'm
assuming it's 13,714.
Is how much?
13,714. So about a third of what you're saying, Sammy.
About
40,000 is an acre.
All the other properties.
Yeah, minimum 40,000 square feet.
Which is an acre, I believe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And other properties adjoining you is?
They're small lots also. They're not.
They're all small. So,
yeah, they're all, there's three in a row there. Lot one, lot two, lot three. And then that's really it. There's no other houses until you go way down the road. And it's just behind me. So there's, you know, there's no, the reason why, you know, there's nobody else there. That's it. But those three lots are tiny.
Very unique spot.
Sammy, an acre is 43,560 square feet.
500, right.
43,560.
Correct. I have that here. And okay. What I was looking up on the Derby site was something about just under 40,000 minimum for that zoning. So, yeah, I know what the acre was. And he's got 13,000. So, yeah, just trying to put everything together here because that anybody have any questions?
Hey, ask mine. Tony, anything? Jeffrey?
No.
No.
Ray?
No, I don't.
I would like to add just, you know, all the setbacks that he has to go through are based off of an R1 zone. Is that correct? That being the fact sense. That he's an R1, the setback requirements are based off of that, and he only has a third of that.
So it's a non-conforming lot. That's right?
Right. You're already in a non-conforming lot. So you're trying to adhere to an R1 regulation that's a third of a lot of what, I mean, is that making sense to anybody?
Yeah, it's just that, I realize it's not a conforming lot, but by adding another building, you make it more non-conforming. And that's one of the things we're not allowed to do, but.
Right, we're not allowed to do that. How did the lot get put up to begin? How did we get this?
unless the zoning changed from when he built it.
The zoning, yeah, the zoning was changed up here about, I want to say 15 years ago. It might be longer. So it's possible this lot was subdivided, the home built, and then the zoning changed, right?
I mean, Ray, would you know that?
I bought the lot from the people next door years ago, back in like 1998 or 99, I want to say, probably 99, and built on it shortly thereafter. So I don't know. It was, at the time, I made sure that it was a building lot.
Right.
I didn't just buy it, coming blind.
Right. Which is my point. I think if they had, otherwise he wouldn't have been able to build, they wouldn't have been able to subdivide the lot and sell it if we had already changed the zoning. So I think we changed the zoning after he was in there, after Ray was in there.
There was an approved site plan, if I might add, that, when I purchased it. So that, 7.8 feet on the right side there that you're looking at that you brought up earlier was part of the approved plan. The gentleman that I bought it from got it approved. So
the zoning was changed after the purchase of the land.
I know in 2001 they updated zoning. So
correct. And maybe that's what I'm thinking about, because I know it sort of on Silver Hill. And after that was changed, I could no longer, my lot's a little more than an acre, and I can't divide it now because of that change.
Right. There you go. Because nothing's ever easy, Jeremy.
Nope.
Nope.
Do that again.
So, Sammy, what are you thinking?
I'm kind of torn here. Yeah. I mean, you're right. Just because something's already non-conforming, we can't already build upon that.
But when he built it, it would have been conforming because they wouldn't have let him build it.
Right. Then. So he's being penalized for zoning changes we made after the fact. No, the city.
Correct.
But also, never had a 2-foot setback on anything.
Is there a grading print in the packet here to show
the grade of
the yard?
I just have the one thing that Freddie D'Amico did in 2011. It looks just like maybe an as-built, and then there's a shed drawn on it, and then a garage drawn on it.
Yeah. When it comes to a public portion, I have some insight to give you for the grading as well.
That would be helpful. All right. So are you guys all set, Sammy, Tony, Jeffrey, and Ray? And then we can hear what Gino has to say about the grading. And then if we need to have another discussion, we'll go back to number 5 again. But right now we'll close that and move on to the public portion for the application so we can hear what we have for the grading.
Yep. Okay.
Yep. Because I think that's relevant. Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Gino DiGiovanni, 77 H Street, Derby, for the record. So I'm very familiar with the lot there. As you approach the left side of that lot, as Ray was saying, in the back of his lot is all straight ledge and it's pretty vertical. And on the left side, it is probably, I would guesstimate, about 5 or 6 feet the neighbor's yard. So he's set down in a little bit of a bowl there, towards the back of his property there. So I wanted you, or I wanted the commission to the board to know that the way the land is there, it's not like it's not like this structure is going to be sitting on a piece of flat property overlooking the neighbor, or the neighbor to the rear, the neighbor to the left. Just to give you a little idea of how the lot goes. it's going to be set more into the for lack of a better term, the bank, if you will. So that's how the topography goes in that backyard there. So I don't know if you're aware of that or not.
Yeah, I could see behind it. I couldn't tell from the.
Yeah, and it's the lot, and those first few lots there are very unique because there's no other houses that are, you know, that close. And like you said, after the lot was purchased, the house was built, approved, then the city or the zoning was changed. So it was conforming when the lot was purchased and the house was built. So obviously the zoning now changed to R1 and, you know, he's only have a third of an acre there. With reviewing the letters that were in the packet, I see that I'm pretty sure all three, if I have the names correct, all three of the adjoining property owners were in favor of it. And just for the record, I don't see an issue with it either. Right, and that's pretty much, and that's pretty much all I have. So I just wanted to let you guys know of you know, the grading and the topography of the lot.
And that's a single story garage.
Yes, it'll have some storage above, but you know, just a peaked roof.
But not a whole second floor like a walk up. It's just going to be.
No, look, it's going to be. You'll see the roof from the front sloping up.
Okay.
To the rear, so
yeah,
kind of blend in with the ledge behind it.
Okay. The storage will be up in the rafter area.
Okay.
There's no second floor.
All right. Gino, thanks for that.
You're quite welcome. Thank you for letting me speak. I appreciate it.
Oh, absolutely. All right. I'm just going to go back to five for 1 second. Does anybody have any other questions or anything that is cleared up, or if not, we can move on to number.
Hey, Rick.
Yes.
It seems like he has a true problem that it really cuts apart his property, and this is what we're looking to try to solve these issues. I don't know. By trying to follow the rules, there is no lot left to do. You've got to modify it in order to make it happen.
Well, one of the right in the variance section, if there's exceptional narrowness, shallowness, shape, or substandard size of the specific parcels of property, the strict application of the regulations or amendments would result in an unusual difficulty or unreasonable hardship upon the owner. That's why we're here. It's a substandard size. It is narrower in the back than the front of the lot. And
setbacks are also based on 40,000 square
feet. Yeah, and the setback is based on a lot that's more than three times the size of this.
Okay. So how about an R? Like, I mean, does it have to be exactly 2 feet off? Can there be concession as far as that? Like an R4 is 8 feet. Building from the rear lot. From the rear line of a lot is 5, and you know, an R4 is like 9,000 squares between a 3 and a 4. Does it have to be 2? Can we move it in? Do you have some wiggle room here? Does the thing have to be 20 by 30? Is it for a 2-car garage? Can we lower the structure so that way it doesn't infringe so much on the, I do have, you know, do we have some wiggle room here?
Well, the 20 by 30 is the size I proposed, and that would, you know, give me 2 bays where you could open doors on the width and the depth, so I could get a truck in there and with a workbench behind it, which is ideal. One thing that you did say there, Sam, about could we lower it? I'm going to, in the back there, I'm going to dig down. I already dug down a bit. We want to lower it down. So the garage is going to partially be in the bank, and like the back half, it's kind of like it'd be like a walkout basement house. The front would be the walkout part, but the rear is going to be backfilled. So the idea is to lower it as much as I possibly could, so that it's really going to be hidden in there. And I want to tuck it back in the corner there, so you really don't see it. And you really can't see it from the street. You'll see it looking straight up the driveway along the side, but I've already done some landscaping along the side there just as a buffer.
You currently have a two-car garage, right? What's the size of that?
One-car garage.
You have a one-car?
Yeah, with a two-bay door, but it's a one-car garage.
And it's underneath the, it's built in inside the house. It's not separate.
Yeah, okay, I know. Yep, yeah.
Yeah, the house is a split-level house.
All right, yeah, I have a split-level, but I have a two. Okay, so I know exactly the layout now as you described it, yep.
Yeah, the stairs come down into the garage a little farther than normal, so you really can't fit two normal vehicles. You know, two little tiny cars you could probably squeeze in there, but definitely not.
Okay.
And Mr. Chairman, I hate to speak out of turn, but just for reference, a parking space that a car parks in is 9 feet wide by 18 feet deep. Just to give you a little bit of a reference on your 30 foot, you know, how deep you're talking. So.
Yeah. Sammy, what was the side yard on the R4 you were looking at?
The side yard on the R4 is 8 feet, and
rear's got to still be five.
And five for the rear R4. I'm looking it up again. I just building from rear line of lot is 5 feet. Building from sideline of lot is 8. It's accessory uses.
Yeah, even then, if he moved it over, and
the problem is, back the way it sort of comes to a point, that angle.
No, I'm just looking. It'd move up considerably to get 8 on the side. It would literally be in the middle of that backyard.
Yeah,
right.
Because it would have to follow that angle in the back to get the 5 feet there.
Yep.
On the 8, I'm thinking it's going to have to move at least. Uh, 15 feet over to the right, maybe 12 feet over to the right. And that puts him right in the center.
If I could add, on the plan there, it says now or formerly of Lindner. That's Mrs. Barrios, that's in the letter there. She owns the property on the side and in the rear of the garage, because the property line to the neighbor to the left, you see their property line comes in like in front of the garage there. So
all one lot where that goes around the edge like that?
Right, and their house is Hawthorne Avenue, 630 Hawthorne Avenue.
Okay.
So their property goes along that diagonal line behind me, and then comes forward along the side of the proposed garage.
How far from?
And then there, I'm sorry.
That line is her house.
Oh, it's way up.
I'm thinking.
It's way up to the right.
Far.
In fact, they have a garage that's literally built right on the line behind my neighbor Tom Stedner's house. It's literally, and it's tucked into the bank too. I mean, you could see it from my backyard, but she has no problem with it. I mean, they're fine neighbors. They've been here for probably about 5 years now. I don't want to reiterate, sound like a broken record, but when it's tucked into the bank there, it'll, I don't know, I think it'll be aesthetically pleasing, not only from my backyard, but it's just less to see from the road.
Not going to see much of it.
Just the front door is all you're going to see in the front roof. And
right, the elevations in the rear and the side go up.
And going up the mountain, so to speak, in the back, there's, you know, a lot of large trees and everything, so.
All right. So.
One question, if I may, Mr. Chairman, do you want the letters read into the record?
If you just, you don't have to read them into the record, but just the people's names who sent them, and just that they were all in favor of him being able to put the garage there. And you can attach it, I mean, to the minutes. You don't have to read the whole thing because they basically say the same thing, but just who sent them would be good.
Okay. The
I don't think I printed them. Aaron, you're on mute again.
Oh, okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes,
ma'am. I'm bouncing between the tabs and it's awesome. Yeah. Okay. The first one is Dennis LaRocque, and he is at 650 Hawthorne Avenue in favor. The second is Robert Sulzbach. He says he's at 7 Cullens Hill Road, and he is in favor. The third is Gulson Berrios at 630 Hawthorne Avenue, also in favor. And the final letter received was from Thomas and Christine Stedner, and they're at 1 Cullens Hill Road, and they also are in favor.
Okay, thank you. All right. Then this is just for the board. The one thing, I mean, there's, and Ray, for your reference, we have 4 rules that we have to follow. And if you meet all 4 of these, we can grant a variance. 2, 3, and 4 are pretty straightforward. That the difficulties or hardship are peculiar to the property in question in contrast with other properties in the same district. Even though there's the neighbors are in similar, you know, the lots right by you are similar, but the rest of R1 is different from what you have. Hardship was not the result of the applicant's own action. Well, it kind of is, but the fact that we're dealing with setbacks for a different size lot makes it tough. Merely financial or pecuniary, it's not. I mean, if you had to put it someplace else, you could, but it doesn't make sense to put it in the middle of the yard. The top one is, though, that if you comply with the provisions of these regulations, you would not be able to make reasonable use of the property. And the thing is, reasonable is not defined. That is objective, subjective, not objective, subjective. And that's what the board has to decide. Is it reasonable to use the property as it is, or would it be reasonable that you needed another garage? So that's basically what it comes down to, just so you know where we have to find that you meet all 4 of those conditions. So I think 2, 3, and 4 are easy. And then 4, the first one, if it, the reasonable use of the property. And that's typically like, say you bought this lot and you couldn't put a house on it because of the setbacks, then you wouldn't be able to make any reasonable use. It'd be easy. We just grant you a variance to put the house as close to the specifications as possible. Because like you say, you wouldn't buy a lot and not be able to build a house on it. And we would end up in court and say, you have to let somebody build on it. If they own the land, you have to be able to build something. So that's easy for us. This one is not as easy. That's why it's taken so much discussion. So,
well, reasonable use of the property in that rear corner is, what could I do with it?
Correct.
Watch the trees grow, you know?
Yeah, no, it's the entire property.
Well, you have a house.
It's not unreasonable that you would need a 2-car garage if you only have a usable 1 car now. But it depends. Sammy, were you saying something? Somebody said something. I wasn't looking up. All right. Does anybody have anything else to add? If not, I'm going to move on to number seven. I'll wait for a motion from somebody. And if there's any discussion on the motion, then we should make a decision.
Mr. Chairman.
Tony.
I see no problem with it, except for if it gets turned into a second floor apartment or something. As long as it's on one level, and I see no problem with it.
Yeah, no, it can't be an apartment. I have a garage that was originally designed for apartments, but it's not attached to my house, so I can't make it apartments. Same thing there. You can't have a rental property that's not attached. So yeah, one floor. That's why I asked. And then anybody else have anything? If not, I'll get a motion from somebody.
Well, listen, my last thoughts on this was,
yes, please, Sammy.
My last thoughts on this thing here is that I get getting them off the hook on an R1 because of the size of the lot, and but when we can't make accommodations on an R4 and R5 when it's 9,000 and he's got 13,000.
Right.
That is where this becomes an issue for this application. I'm not expecting to hold him under the R1 regulations given the size of the lot. But when you're having a lot of when you have a variance in a, or when you have a restrict, when we have setbacks rather, sorry, when we're having setbacks in an R4 or an R5, we can't meet those either. And his lot is at 13,000 square feet, whereas as opposed to 9,000 square feet. That's where I think this board needs to look at.
That's fine.
And what are the requirements, Sammy, for those setbacks?
8 on the side, or, 5 in the back.
For an R4,
yep,
and R5. It's 8 feet, yep, from the side and 5 feet from the back.
8 and 5. Okay.
8 and 5.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's on R4 and R5 with 9,000 square feet. And 7,500. R5 is 7,500. R4 is 9,000, just for the record. And we're at 13. And, you know, so I don't want to treat them. I understand that the hardship is that you're in an, yeah, R1. No, I'm not trying to treat the land as an R1. I'm trying to treat it for what it is. And even when I look at the R4 and R5, we can't even meet those. And pushing it, what, 8 feet? Where that brings you literally into the middle of the land, which doesn't make the backyard usable?
It just pushes it over too far. It's
right in the middle of the backyard, just about.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Right in the middle. You have a shed.
There's a shed there. There's, yard goes uphill. I terraced it by building some, like a boulder wall, so that have a level area. And, I'm not going to plop anything right in. No, just ain't going to, I won't do it. Just ain't going to move it over. And it doesn't make sense to make it any narrower. I can't build a 2-bay garage. So, because the thing is, I want to fit a pickup truck in it with a plow on it in the wintertime. And that alone is like 23 feet long, 24 feet long with a plow on. So if I can't fit a vehicle with a truck with a plow on it, it doesn't make any kind of sense to do it. I'll just put a tent back there and or a patio. I have a flat landing surface. I just thought housing stuff in a garage would be a lot nicer, and instead of leaving the trucks outside and everything exposed. So there's no, you know, I got letters from all the neighbors. They're all in favor of it. They'd like to see it done too, because they want to see my trucks out of the driveway and stuff. And that's it. I have really nothing else to add.
Personal vehicles or commercial vehicles?
Personal vehicles.
I see the shed. Is there a variance there for the shed? Or was that there?
That was there. I got a building permit for that and everything. All the permits are done for that.
Anything else, Sammy?
No, no, not at this moment.
You have the drawing, so you know what we're saying, where the garage would be in the middle?
I'm sorry?
No,
I do. Oh. Yeah, I do. I see the triangle at the back there where the point is going. Yeah.
If the right side of the lot went back as far as the left side, then and you moved it 8 and 5, it wouldn't look silly. It would be still close to the edge. You'd have 8 feet from the left side. In theory, you could park something there. And then if you paved that side, and then it wouldn't be in the middle of the yard, but that diagonal.
That far right hand corner is 2 feet from the property line, is what we're saying, right?
Yes, that little point. And the other one's probably 10, it looks like about a half inch. If this is still to scale, it's probably about 10 feet.
What, from the side?
The left corner to the back point there.
Oh, the left corner. Yeah, the left corner. I'm sorry. Yep. So that's fine. That's the right. Put it up a couple of feet.
And that's all.
What if we moved it up? What if we moved it up and made it compliant with the back and not the side?
Move it 3 feet forward. So driver would be three.
Can you move it 3 feet? That's all. Ray, can you move it 3 feet forward?
It comes on a downhill slope. So if I pull it forward, it's going to be higher up in the air. It'll be a steeper driveway.
From your house to the back goes downhill.
Goes up, okay.
Uphill.
Uphill.
And then where the garage is, it goes severely up.
Straight up. I saw that.
And the farther you pull it forward, steeper the driveway gets.
And the building is more exposed.
Yeah, well. Trying to match my neighbor's side yard there and still maintain a decent grade. I mean, I don't want this to look ugly. I mean, I gotta live here. So you know, if you're gonna
that's the nicest way I can.
And I feel that I meet that other criteria. Because you can't consider the location of the house and reasonable use of the property. This is reasonable use for what I want to do as an accessory structure, not as the house.
No, it's of the property itself. That's, we have to look at the entire piece of property. Is it reasonable like it is, or would it be more reasonable to have a garage there? All right.
I would appreciate the board working with me to get this done as presented. You know, I don't know what else to do. If all the neighbors are in favor and what have you, they ask your indulgence in approving this, but.
All right. Then I need this motion for that. And then we'll move on to number seven. If a discussion's done, Sam, are you done? Tony, Ray, Jeff, everybody's done.
Yeah, I'm done.
All right, then I need a motion for number seven, either for or against, and we'll vote accordingly.
I make a motion to accept, and with the caveat of it can't have a second level.
So you want to grant the 23-foot side and the 3-foot rear?
Yeah, but it's not that there's anything that could be done with that.
Okay.
I'll second the motion.
Okay, any discussion on the motion? All right. Since I can't see... I'm going to just go down the roll call for votes. Ray, four.
Yeah, four. Yes.
Aye. All right.
Aye. And
Jeffrey?
Yes.
Tony?
Yeah.
Sammy? Mute.
Yes.
Then I'll vote yes as well. So your variance is granted. You got to go to City Hall and get an application. I might have to sign something for them. They'll let me know when it's ready. So,
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Just for the record, I just noticed as I was looking at the attachment there, the application was not signed. So Mr. Sadlick should be sure to sign that application.
The application was signed wherever they told me to sign it in the presence of the zoning enforcement officer.
I don't know. Maybe whatever they submitted
was filed with it. Yeah, it doesn't have a signature. That's fine. That's fine.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you.
I didn't see it. You're welcome, Mr. Sadlick.
Thank you.
Oh, Mark, on the page one, I see signature of appellant. I guess that's applicant. So it's there.
The last page doesn't have the signature we're supposed
to. Oh, the last page. Okay, the first page has it.
Very difficult to read it, so I don't know. But okay. That's really.
Yeah, I'll make sure they sign the application, and then when I'm there to sign the variance approval. All right. So then I need the next item on the agenda. I'll make it motion to adjourn.
I second.
Tony seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
At 7:21. Mark, thank you for being here. Everybody else, take care.
Thank you.
Thank you.